Well, good evening.
Good evening.
I got a text earlier today from Pastor Gary, and he had said it was probably best for him to stay back tonight. I've told you guys many times I don't ask a lot of questions. I just honor my dad. I did ask, could we bring you anything? I think we asked that yesterday, too. He said, if you could just take the service, that'd be great. He said, we're on the mend. So, Pastor Greg, have you heard anything else from them?
Just a brief text this afternoon, but nothing.
Okay. So, other than that, he said they're on the mend. I did hear his dad wasn't feeling well, and, of course, Aunt Connie wasn't feeling well. I'm not sure if he ended up coming down with it or not. You know, I don't know. He did say we're on the mend, so that would lead me to think that he was feeling under the weather, too. And if I know him, we have the men's retreat coming up Friday, Saturday, and he probably just doesn't want to get anyone sick. So, and I can say this as well. You know, I'm thankful that he's getting his time with his folks. I know with Michelle, with her dad, it was a very sweet time, you know, a time of preparing to say goodbye. So I don't know the Lord's will or timing in any of that, but I do know that I'm thankful that he gets this time with his mom and dad. And so we're thankful for that. So remember them in prayer. Tonight, when he had called, I thought for sure, I said, okay, well, we'll just jump right into Matthew 1, and depending on how quick we hit on it, we'll just go right into Matthew 2. We covered Matthew 3 on Sunday. But as I begin to sit there and Michelle starts throwing out, you know, she's trying to help me. She is my helpmate. And her and I are going through Hosea. She says, you just need to cover Hosea. And I said, Michelle, it'll literally take the whole time to cover the five kings in the very first verse. You know, I said, so I don't think that's a good idea. And because you've got to go over the whole background in order to get a picture of the time period of what you're dealing with Hosea and the harlotry and God's faithfulness. So then I'm sitting there and I just began to talk to the Lord. And it was funny how the Lord just began to really move in my heart. And I can't say exactly how it came about, but it was like he says, you need to talk about the Holy Spirit. And the way I put it, you know, I said, well, okay, it's who is he and what is he doing? Who is he and what does he do? And so tonight we're not going to uncover any major theological mysteries, but we will lay a foundation of who is he and what is he doing? And another part is how do we recognize when he's stirring in our hearts? So from time to time, you'll get questions like, okay, well, you know, what about this or what about this? And so I thought the best thing to do is just for us to just see what Scripture says about who he is and what he's doing and what his goal is. And let's just allow Scripture to define for us who he is. So we're going to jump right into that in Galatians chapter 4, verse 6. If you'll just turn there with me. Like I said, there's going to be a lot more we can build on in time. But my hope tonight is to just lay a foundation for us as the church, who he is and what he's doing in our lives and what he's doing in our hearts. So we'll start right here. First, we got to define who he is. It's not a what. It's not this magical force. It's a he. And the Holy Spirit is a he. The best way I heard it put, and I believe this was in Knowing God, which is one of our books in discipleship, was we have God the Father purposing salvation. We have God the Son securing salvation. And we have the Holy Spirit applying salvation. He's teaching us how to walk as God's saved people, his redeemed people. And he's teaching us how to do that. So we'll talk more about that. It's Galatians chapter 4, verse 6. If you don't have this verse highlighted in your Bible, I'd encourage you to have it highlighted. Because as a Christian, whether you're a new Christian or a more seasoned Christian, or been a Christian for some time, I'd encourage you to have this highlighted in your Bible. One, because let's just say you've been saved a while and you don't have it marked and you don't know where it is, it'd be good for you to know. As you begin to witness and share the gospel with others and hopefully be discipling in some way, teaching others about Christ, because that is the great mandate, right? Matthew 28, we should be discipling or being discipled with the hope of discipling someone else, teaching them all that he had taught us, commanded us, and lo, I am with you always. But that is the great mandate in the church, and I feel like in a lot of ways, I remember in my own community, in my own neighborhood, I have a couple churches there that I know some of the different ones, and the one thing that really grieves my heart at different times is you don't see discipleship really being talked about a lot in the church today. And that grieves my heart, because we can talk more about this at a later date, but we're supposed to grow up in all aspects to the maturity of Christ, not to be tossed here and there by waves and every wind of doctrine. It's not what we're supposed to find ourselves stable. The only way that can happen is to get into the Word of God and know who God is. What does the Word of God say? Who is He? And for us to begin to walk in those truths that we see who the Lord is. So we go into Galatians chapter 4, verse 6. Who is He? Who is the Holy Spirit? Galatians chapter 4, verse 6 would tell us this. Because you are sons. And so it's bringing us to a point where we're no longer going to be walking in this rules and regulations, but we're going to start walking as sons, and God's my Father in heaven, and I want to honor my dad. And like I opened up here tonight, I don't ask a lot of questions from Pastor Gary. I just know when he calls, I want to honor my dad. That's it. That's what I don't need to know everything, but I do know this. I want to honor him, and it's just like God the Father. We should want to just honor him. So because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. That is to say, we just saw who He is. We just defined who He is. He is the Spirit of God's Son. That is Jesus. And He is now in your heart and in my heart when we make a decision to receive Jesus as our Lord and Savior. According to Ephesians chapter 1, at the moment you believe the gospel message, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise as that signet ring or that engagement ring as God's possession, but it's His stamp. That one's mine. So He is the Spirit of God's Son. This is who He is. So now what we need to ask ourselves is, we got to define this word Spirit. Because a lot of times I'll hear people say, well, I'm being led by the Spirit in this, and I'm being led by the Spirit in that. And in my head I'm going, this makes no sense at all, because there's going to be very clear as we look through Scripture, especially in John 14, 15, 16. The Holy Spirit is very clear. He's aligning with God's Word. This is the Spirit of God's Son. So He's always going to want to honor God the Father. It's like someone coming to you and saying, you know, I'm really feeling led by the Lord. I need to divorce my wife. I'm going, you're being led, but it is not the Spirit of Christ leading you to do this, because Malachi would say, I hate divorce. Now, we know that there are certain parameters that Christ would say where it would be acceptable, but we also know that His desire is that we would desire to stay faithful. With that being said, it doesn't mean that in times past, before Christ or even in Christ, that things may have happened. But God is faithful and He forgives, and we move past those things. Nevertheless, my point was, when someone comes up, and I'm feeling led, Spirit's telling me to divorce my wife. I'm going, that is, no, you're wrong. Quite frankly, you're confused. So here we come again. Let's define Spirit. It is the word pneuma, Greek in Scripture. It would be P-N-E-U-M-A. It'd be the place where we would get pneumatic tools. If you ever gone to the shop to get your tires changed, or the place where they would work on cars and they would raise it up to do the rotation of your tires, and you'd see that big air wrench. If you've ever watched a NASCAR race, They run around with those air tools, and the air tools are used for all kinds of different things, but it's compressed air. It's powered air. So pneumatic tools, it is air. So the very definition would be pneuma, would be the Greek word. Now, to give you the Strong's Concordance, it comes from the root word of a current of air. So it's very unique. This is a current of air. It would go on to explain, well, it's like a breath. It would be defined sometimes as a blast, a violent rushing wind, Acts chapter 2, a blast or a breeze. It can be defined either way. Let me put it to you this way. If you've ever hung around Mr. Dave Woods for any length of time, there's going to be times where it's going to be a blast. You got to talk to that person. And you're like, I got to go. We got to go. I got to turn around and talk to that guy. That was a blast. And you'll know. He'll move so impressive on your heart. And then there's other times, like with me today, it was a breeze. It was, and I'm telling you, I was arguing with the Lord. I said, no, I think I feel safer going back in. I know that one. It's kind of short notice, but I'm ready. I feel safer there. And it was like the Lord going, so you're not going to do what I told you to do? And I just said, okay, Lord, you're just going to have to lead us through this one. So it's a breath or a blast or a breeze. It can be described by analogy or figuratively, a spirit. It talks about where it ties into us and ourselves, the rational soul, place where you begin to think through different things, mental disposition. If I can just make it make sense for us, it's what animates you and I, our natural spirit. It's what animates you. It's a movement of air. Let me put it another way. Your spirit, my spirit, is what motivates you. So the best way I explain it to all the kids in class, and I may have done it out here before, but like we're this piece of paper, and it's what moves you. So at this point in time now, he's coming in, and he's now moving you and I, motivating us differently, changing our hearts. He's desiring to move and to motivate us in such a way that we're no longer being moved and motivated by our natural inclinations anymore, but now being set apart for his use in his kingdom. So to define spirit, it's a breath of air. It is a breeze. When he says it's the Spirit of God's Son, we're talking about the Holy Spirit, it's going to be that which motivates you. He is going to now begin to motivate you in which way? Well, if this is the Spirit of God's Son, in John chapter 6, verse 38, he says, I did not come to do my will, but the will of the one who sent me. Before I come to know Christ, I could really care less what God wanted me to do. I wanted to do what Josh Lindsay wanted to do. But when I received Christ, something changed in my life. And Romans 5 will tell me that the love of God was poured out into my heart through the Holy Spirit. And he began to change my motivations. I no longer wanted to do certain things in my life. And nobody had to tell me this. I just knew. I no longer wanted to do that anymore. And the Holy Spirit had been breathed. Well, I'll put it another way. Life was breathed into me. Ephesians 2 would say you're dead in your transgressions and sins. Before we come to know Christ, we're dead. Life was breathed into me at that moment. And other things began to happen. I just began and started telling people about Jesus. If you've ever noticed, when you receive the Lord, you now start talking to people about Jesus. You never did that before. You know, maybe if you grew up in church, you talk about rules and regulations and church going and religious things. But you didn't really talk about Jesus too much. So we're going to keep going now. We've defined who he is. Well, he is the Spirit of God's Son. And he is Jesus Christ. And he has now been poured out on our hearts. Romans 5 would tell us through the Holy Spirit, the love of God. And what does Jesus do? But he desires to do the will of his Father. And that is now what he's wanting us to do as he abides in our hearts. So now what we need to ask ourselves is, well, what does he want to do? Better yet, what is he doing? What is he doing now. So we defined who he is. So if you would, turn me to John chapter 14. And these are great chapters to highlight certain verses. That John 14 and 16 are really where you're going to see. And then, of course, 15 as well. We'll talk about that. You're going to really see what he, the Holy Spirit, is doing in your life and what he wants to do in our lives. So at first we'll start in chapter 14, verse 26, and we'll just look right there at verse 26 and we'll begin to talk about this. It says, we can look in 25 to start it out. These things I have spoken to you while abiding with you. So Christ is with the disciples and he's talking to them about the things of the Lord and he's preparing them as he's getting ready to go to the cross. And he turns in 26, he says, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you. So at this particular time, we begin to look up, okay, he's going to send a helper. What exactly does that mean? Well, we know what he's going to do. He's going to begin to teach me all things about the Lord. He's going to begin to bring to my remembrance all that Christ said. Have you ever been talking to someone or witnessing to someone at a particular time and out of nowhere this verse just has popped on your heart? And I remember early on telling myself, I didn't even know I knew that verse. It's because I didn't. I didn't set out to memorize that verse really, really hard and flash cards. And I didn't even, if I'm telling myself I didn't even know I knew that verse, it's because I didn't. But he began testifying in my heart. And I remember running back at times with Pastor Gary going, I didn't even know I knew that verse. I didn't even know. It just came right out of my mouth. It came out. It was the coolest thing ever. Ever. But that's what he's doing. He says, I'm your helper. And I think a lot of times we can get so rigid and well, I got to be prepared for this. And I'll never know as much as that person. I'll never be able to do what they do. Well, I don't know. It says that he's going to be the helper just for this person or the helper just for that person. That's not what he says. He says, I'm going to send the helper, the Holy Spirit, and I'll send in my name, my character, and he's going to teach you all things. That seems to be a blanket statement to all of us Christians. He's going to teach you. He's going to bring to your remembrance. So are you telling me that maybe I'm putting too much on myself? Maybe I should just come back to, okay, well, we're going to talk about that. How do I tap into him today? How do I tap into the Spirit? How do I tap into that? And we're going to talk about that. But maybe is it possible that maybe I just need to spend time with him and desire to please him today and trust that if the time brings itself up or if God so ordains to bring someone into my path to share the gospel with, he'll lead me through it. He'll share with you. He'll put on your heart what to say. Doesn't mean that we don't train in discipleship and learn different things that that will equip us for the work of the Lord, and we should. But he'll bring to your remembrance. It's not something that you can work out and get stronger at. But it is something that we can rely upon him. Okay, Lord, what would you like me to say to this person today? A lot of times he's already going to put it on your heart before you even had time to think about it. A verse will pop in. A verse will pop on your heart. And let me encourage you in this. A lot of times we're going, I don't see how that's going to fit into this equation. And I really don't know how they're going to take this. Back up and just say, okay, Lord, how do you want me to say this? And a lot of times what I have found is I just go, I can't really explain it other than I really feel like the Lord's putting this on my heart to share this with you at this time. And it's not necessarily me having to convey this the right way. I can't tell you how many times I've tripped and stumbled over my words, but God so ordained me trip and stumble over my words at that time. It wasn't this tongue of men and angels. It is a flawed vessel trying to tell you about this love of God and just how great it is. I think at times we try to professionalize things way too much. We're just sharing with you the love of God. So if I can give you a little more insight here, the word helper would be an aide or an assistant. That would be a parakaleo. That would be your word. Now, there's certain things that he is going to do, but in this particular text, it is an aide or an assistant. If I can give you a little more background, the Strong's would probably define it like this. The Holy Spirit would take the place of Christ with the apostles after his ascension to lead them into a deeper knowledge of the gospel truth. Now, you almost wouldn't get that in this text. But one of the ways that they're trying to kind of convey this and define it is that his main goal right here at the beginning is to take us into a deeper knowledge of gospel truth. That's his desire. He wants us to have not just this surface understanding, but a deeper knowledge of the love of God, this gospel truth. And to give them, I like this part too because I know I need it, to give them divine strength to undergo trials and persecutions on behalf of the kingdom of God. So in a way, he's saying he's going to send you a helper. He's going to teach you all things. He's going to lead you. He's going to show you. He's going to teach you. He's going to bring to your remembrance all that I said to you. And I really appreciate this, the way that they begin to try to define it, a deeper knowledge of the gospel truth and to give divine strength to undergo trials and persecutions on behalf of the kingdom. That this is what he's going to begin to help you through. So this deeper knowledge of God's truth at times, that you're telling me that him throwing Paul in prison in Rome, this was a part of God's plan? Yeah. Yeah. He says the whole Praetorian Guard is hearing the gospel. Well, how else am I going to be able to witness the Praetorian Guards? Because I'm not one. I mean, what's gonna draw a Praetorian Guard, trained killer, a man that's willing to die for his country, to obey every command he's given? What's gonna spark his interest about some prisoner? How about one that's willing to die for the message he believes in? How about one that they look and as Pilate says, I find no fault in Jesus. There's no fault in this man. They go, something different about this guy. You mean he's willing to suffer and he's done nothing wrong and he's willing to take the blame and take the punishment and not complain one bit? Well, that's like a soldier. So God will purposely bring these situations in, and he's not just sending us out there and say, hey, here you go, figure it out. He says, I'm going to give you an aide. I'm going to give you an assistant. And what is he doing? But his desire is to take me into a deeper knowledge of the gospel truth and to strengthen us to endure times of trial and persecution for the kingdom. So these are two of the things right off the bat that we're seeing that he's wanting to do in your life. But do we believe him? Or do we throw up our hands so quickly and we begin to look with these eyes rather than walk by faith and not by sight? And are we coming to the Lord and saying, okay, Lord, this is looking difficult, but I know you have a plan and a purpose here. I'm going to trust you. You lead me. You do what you wish. I gave my life to you. So a lot of times in the plan of salvation, when we say, I want to receive you as my Lord and Savior. When we say this, I don't think we fully understand completely at times. I know I didn't. But as time went on, it became very clear to me that I gave my life to him. And at that moment, he became my Lord and my master. And what that means is that he now has control. Lord, you use me. I'm your bondservant. God, you use me as you see fit. So there's going to be times where he's going to pick you up and pluck you here. There's going to be times he's going to pick you up and pluck you there. And it may be ailments, it may be job opportunities at work to suffer for the gospel, to take steps of faith, whatever it may be. But you belong to him now, and he belongs to you. But we gave our lives to him. And so quickly, we begin to walk by these eyeballs, and we do not walk and say, I gave my life to you, Lord, so wherever you want to use me, Lord, you strengthen me to endure because I know me. I'll start grumbling and complaining. I'll start defending myself. Lord, I'm going to be quiet. You just do whatever you want to do with me, Lord. And we come back to faith. We walk by faith, not by sight. So one of the first things we're seeing here is his desire is to teach deeper things of the gospel truth. And his desire is to give endurance to these difficult trials and bring to your remembrance all that I said. Did I tell you they're going to hate you? Did I tell you? You stand firm. Not a hair of your head will be touched. It will not. You're okay. I got you. But are you going to be willing to let me take you through that fire like Daniel? Are you going to be willing to let me throw you in that lion's den? Are you going to be willing to, at times, bring physical things upon you, not unlike what we believe with Daniel? Are you not going to allow me to, at times, possibly discipline the way I had to do with Jacob and realize, okay, Lord, you're trying to reveal things in my life that there's just no way that I would never even see them. But I know you do, and I know you're trying to purge me of these things. So let's continue to move forward. Let me also, at this point, let's bring out, let's go ahead and move on. Let me find my other one. I'm sorry. We're going to back up into 14, verse 16. Accidentally skipped that one. Forgive me. He'll start out, well, the Lord obviously knew we needed to hear 26 first, right? So let's start out in verse 16. We're going to look at 16 and 17. And this is very important too. He says, I will ask the Father, he will give you another helper, that he may be with you sometimes. Yeah, he's going to come in, he's going to come out, and I don't know. Are you with me today, Lord? I don't think you're with me. It's really rough today. You're not with me. I read it, it says forever. He's going to be with you forever. That is the spirit of truth. And just so you know, one of the words of this word helper is comforter. He's there to comfort. He's not out here leaving us on an island alone saying, figure it out, son, daughter. He's a comforter. He's an interceder. But it says that the helper, that he may be with you forever. That is the spirit of truth. Okay. Now we've got some more substance here. Whom the world cannot receive, because it does not see him or know him, but you know him, because he abides with you and will be in you. He's with you, he's in you. The Spirit of truth. And he's testifying of his truth in your heart and my heart. And one of the best ways to define this is this spirit of truth. This word truth, the way they would define it is it's whatever is true under any matter under consideration. And the best way to understand this sometimes is to see what they say is the opposite. As opposed to what is false, fake, fictitious, it is what's trustworthy. It is what you can put your trust in. So let me put it another way. I'll give you some application. You're going to start down this road, and you're going to be heading down here, and you're going to be thinking, okay, you know, here I go. And you're going, and then you're going to start feeling that breeze, and you're going to start feeling that nudge, and God's going to say, you sure you want to go there? And the Spirit of truth is going to begin to testify in your heart, I don't know if this is accurate. There's a sense of discernment. I don't know. Not sure here how this is going to play out. But he begins to testify to you, that's not the right way. And he begins to testify the word of God in your heart and my heart too. He begins to bring the word of God to bear. I'll give you another example, a testimony of my own life. This was some years back. And I remember there was a particular family member. Something had happened. This is an earthly family member. Something had happened. And, you know, for those of us who've been saved for a little while, and I'm not trying to put myself in some of you, the older Christians' boat, I promise. I know I'm still wet behind the ears. But, you know, we're real good at finding scripture that will convince us that, you know, we can do what we're feeling is right. So anyhow, this particular family member, this thing is happening, and, you know, I said, well, hey, they got thus, thus, and thus, and that's fine. So I don't really think I need to be concerned about that. And it wasn't long before God began to put 1 Timothy on my heart. You're worse than an unbeliever. And I didn't set out to try to, I was already going this way. But it was like the Lord began to bring to bear his word in my heart. And I said, okay. And I remember going and talking to Pastor Gary. I was like, hey, you know, what about this? And, you know, but this verse just kind of came to my heart and mind. He goes, well, it sounds to me like the Lord's trying to talk to you. It was a verse, though. He bore his truth in my heart. He'll bear his truth in your heart. And you may be thinking one way, but you know the Holy Spirit, he's testifying of God's truth in your heart. And Romans 1 says you'll suppress the truth in unrighteousness. No, 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 no. Who put that verse there? He's in you. He's with you. He's testifying of God's truth. And I'm telling you, as clear as the day, it was like the verse of 1 Timothy 5, boom. And I was like, oh. But in the flesh, I did not want to do it. And that's what I had to get real with. I had to get real with, I just didn't want to do it. But I can tell you this, when I surrendered to God and I said, okay, Lord. Now, I'm telling you, in the flesh, I didn't want to do it. So I'm telling you, that's how I felt. But God said, son, I want you to do this. And I remember surrendering to what God asked me to do, not knowing all the ins and outs, not knowing everything. But the whole time I'm there, snaking out this tub drain, the thing breaks, this breaks, that breaks. But as I'm talking to this particular family member and all the issues that were going on in their life, I was able to encourage them in the Lord and point them to Christ. And by the time I left, the tub wasn't the problem. She needed to hear that God loved her. Of all the decisions that she made, it was just the tub that God was using to get me there. Now, I was a Pharisee at the moment. I could point out this and this and this, the reason why I should not be doing it. But God, through his Holy Spirit, was testifying in my heart. I understand that by law, you don't have to do it. But by love, I'm warning you to. And love's going to fulfill that law. And God began to use it. Like I said, I didn't want to do it. But that spirit of truth was testifying in my heart. And there's been times where I haven't done it. And you'll deal with things like guilt, regret. But there's times when I just surrender and he begins to show me exactly why I am where I am. So let's move on. We talked about 26, 27. So we have 16 and 17. We have 26, actually, not 27, other than he wants to give you peace. And when we desire to learn about Christ, about the Word of God, and trust in him to bring those things to remembrance, he's going to give you peace. So let's move on to chapter 16. Yeah, we'll move on to, actually, let's go into 15, 26. Let's move on to chapter 15, verse 26, and we'll look at verse 27. So right here in 26, it says, chapter 15, when the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, that is the Spirit of truth. So we're talking, here it is again. When someone says, I'm being led by the Spirit, is it lining up with God's Word? If it's not lining up with God's Word, 1 John is very clear, test the spirits. There's times when you got to step back and go, okay, Lord, is this me or is this you? But the one way you're always going to know is number one, is it lining up with God's word? If it's not lining up with God's word, that is not the Holy Spirit directing you. Somewhere along the way, that's your flesh is getting involved. It is not the Holy Spirit that's directing you. He will always testify about himself. So here we are, the Spirit of Truth, who proceeds from the Father. What's he going to do? What's he going to do when you and I? He's going to testify about Jesus. There's going to be this in you. You're just going to want to talk about the Lord. Now, there's times you're going to be in Publix or Walmart or Home Depot or the job or wherever you may be, and you're going to feel him start to, that breeze. Like I said, if you hung around Mr. Dave, it might be a blast. I've had a blast before, and it's like, you got to go now. We got to go. Well, what about this? What? Get in the car. Let's go. We got to go. We're going to minister. We got to go. But point being, he's going to testify about Christ. He says he's going to send you, and he's going to testify about me. And then 27, and you will testify also. Because you've been with me from the beginning. Now he's talking about the apostles at this point. He says, but he's going to testify about me. Okay, so let me let you off the hook. You're not crazy. You know those times when you've been having conversations with people? And the Lord, he starts to stir in your heart. You got to tell him about me. And I'm going to tell you, a lot of times, it's one of those things where Shelly had an opportunity. It was just today. And what was unique is after I was sitting there at the table, the boys are back in the office now doing school because we have Samantha. She's taking over the dining room. And she has this, Dale laughs. She says, we used to have these playpens. They were this big. And what it was new age parents? Oh, that's not big enough. So she's got this gate with rubber floors, and Dale's like, a padded cell, right? It's for her protection, and prison cells are for those people's protections. If not, they would do further harm. It is God's love that puts them there. But anyhow, the boys are back there in the room. I'm at the kitchen table, and I'm working through this and talking to the Lord. And she comes home, and she had a situation the other day happen where somebody was like, you're just so nice. And she says, and in her heart, she knew at that moment, but she was so focused, she had to get this stuff, she had to get done, she had to get out the door. She had to go. And she knew in her heart, she says, I'm walking out, Josh, and I grieved the Holy Spirit. As Ephesians would tell us. Do not grieve him, the Holy Spirit. I grieved him because I didn't turn to her and say, listen, it's all Jesus. And if God so will, maybe someday you'd allow me to share that with you. And so I'm talking to her about it because she thought for sure I was going to go into Matthew, and so did I. And I told her how the Lord really had just started impressing on my heart and really how he began to... So you're not going to do what I'm telling you to do? So you're going to go the safe way? And I said, okay, Lord, we're going to do it. And she just started like, whoa. She said, Josh, you're not going to believe what happened at the store where I was just at. She says, I grieved the Lord the other day, and I had made up my mind. I did not want to do it anymore. And she said, so I'm heading out, and it's this big, tall fella, and he's got tattoos all over his neck, and he's got the mask on, and she says he walks by and he said something about Sammy. And Michelle had said something. Well, you know, she's just been such a blessing from the Lord to us. And he goes, a woman of God. And so she just begins to share with him, you know, how her and I come to know the Lord. And they're right there in the middle. Forget what store she was in. But they're right there in the middle of the store. And she said, Josh, he looks at me and he goes, yeah, my dad's one of those pastor types. And she says, I can't tell you what the Lord rescued my husband and I from. And we ran the streets too. We were in that scene. And somehow by the end, she says, you need to listen to your dad. And this big man with tattoos all over him walks away hearing Michelle, this mother in her 40s of this little baby, encouraging this man to listen to his father and to return to the Lord. And she says, you could just see how encouraged he was as he was leaving. You could tell he heard me. But there was something, not something, it was he, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Christ stirring in Michelle's heart that you can't just not say anything. He's telling you right now, you better give me glory. Give me glory, because that child's been a gift that I gave you. Give me praise here. Don't take credit for being nice, because you know you weren't nice before Jesus saved you. Don't take credit for that. You can't take credit for that. And I know all of you, Michelle's just so gracious. Yes, so great. You didn't know her before Christ. I did. But neither was I. My point being, it says in 26, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify about me. I can't save anyone, but Jesus can. And we're planting the seeds of the gospel of Jesus Christ wherever we go. You're not crazy. He's moving in your heart. And he's telling you, find a way to interject me. Come on, get out there. Find a way to listen. And we're listening to them and we're listening to the Lord. There's two conversations going on. And I've shared this with you guys before. There's two conversations going on. One, you're listening to them. And the second one, the Lord's testifying. And you're going, okay. Yeah. Praise God. God is so good. And we're throwing, and the other thing, what I like to call it, is we're throwing out our fishing line. He says, I'm going to make you fishers of men. But he says, he will make you fishers of men. Not me make me fishers, but he will. He's saying in your heart, testify about me. Point them to me. Find some way, somehow. And there's times when we're in a grocery store or we're at work or something. And I know there's times where I realize that in that given situation, I may not have the opportunity to go into a drawn-out opportunity to share the gospel. I understand that. But what I can do is give God praise. Mm-hmm. What I can do is elevate the name of Jesus. But I'm telling you now, you know just like I know. There's the intimidation of the world that is growing greater and greater every day. And we're standing there, we're going, there's something holding us back, and it's fear. We got to stop that. We've been called to testify. And if he's moving in your heart saying to testify, what's stopping you from doing it? You're not crazy. He's moving in your heart. So I'm giving you license. There's going to be times where I'll just turn and say, well, praise the Lord. He has just been so good to me today. And I don't know if it was the person behind me or the person behind them or that cashier. I don't know who needed to hear that particular truth that day. But I know God knows. And he already knows all hearts, all minds. He's given every family the name on earth. So he knows, Ephesians 3 tells us. He knows. So he knows who needs to hear what. And the other thing Michelle and I talked about today, I said, is we really have to slow down. I said, this world around us is trying to put everything in fast forward. They're trying to snuff out the gospel. The evil one wants to. We've got to slow down. And we've got to slow down long enough to be willing to stop. Trust God with the outcome. Trust him with the outcome. We walk by faith. And be willing to stop if God so warrants that I go further in this gospel opportunity with an individual if God opens that door. That if I throw out that fishing line and there's a bite on that line, for instance, if you've ever been fishing and you saw that bobber go underwater, do you ever just drop the reel and walk off? Is that not one of the most exciting parts? I hate fishing because I hate waiting on the bobber to go under the water. I want it to go under the water every time. When I hit a nail goes in the wood. I can see the fruitfulness. But sitting on that lake, it's like, come on. Come on. But when that bobber goes under, is it not a woo, woo? And you hope it's not a tire or a shoe or something along those lines. But the excitement, you don't just drop the reel. So one of the key points, if I can encourage us in this particular 26 and 27, is we got to slow down. There's opportunities God's putting all around us. We got to slow down. And guys, I'm not just talking to you. I'm talking to me. I got to slow down. I want to be about my Father's business. And this is just a reminder. We've been set apart for this. We are the church. This is what we've been called to do. So you're not crazy. He is moving in your heart. And he is telling you, okay, you got to share. You need to share. And we say, okay, Lord, how do you want me to do it? And we're talking to the Lord and we're asking him. And if I can encourage you, there may be times that praise God. You know, I'm just, well, praise the Lord. Oh, look, you got this today. Well, praise God. That is just his goodness. And be willing to see where that, if there's a nibble on that line. But he's moving in your heart to talk to that person about the Lord. I know there was one time in Walmart, Donald accidentally hit this lady with a foam sword. Pow! And we get two aisles over. He says, Dad, I hit the lady with the sword. I said, okay, son. I said, well, what did you mean to? He says, I feel terrible. I got to go apologize, Dad. And I said, okay, well, let's go apologize, buddy. This may be an opportunity for the Lord. And so we walk up to this lady, and we're in the middle of the Walmart, and Donald goes to apologize, and she's just flabbergasted that a young man would do such a thing. And from there, literally, we started talking about Christ, and Donald and I think he's like 5 years old, 6 years old, we get to pray with the woman right there in the frozen food section. But it all started because of my mess up. So mess ups sometimes can be the greatest doors of opportunity. Mess ups in my life at times have been an opportunity for me to go back and say, listen, I did that wrong. And God's convicting me of it right now. And I'd like to apologize to you and tell you that I did not represent Christ the right way. And if God was ever so give me an opportunity to share with you how I come to know the Lord, I'd really appreciate that opportunity. We just never know. So 26, 27, you're going to testify. My point is you're not crazy. He's actually moving in your heart, and he's telling you, okay, you need to talk to him about me. You need to testify about who I am in your life. The world needs to hear it. So chapter 16, and we're going to look at verses 12 through 14 at this point. And then we'll come back to 8, because I feel like 8 really was the icing on the cake, and I'm so glad that he puts 8 in there. But we're going to go 12 through 14. He says, I have many more things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. But when he, the Spirit of truth, okay, so there it is again, right? This is the Spirit of truth. This is the Spirit that's going to testify of the things of God. He is trustworthy. You can trust him. The truth of God, the Word of God, he's going to testify of these things. He will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak on his own initiative, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will disclose it to you what is to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of mine and disclose it to you. So what are we seeing here? He's going to disclose to you what is to come. He's going to bear witness. He's going to prepare you. If we were to look at Paul in Philippians chapter 1, he had a confidence that he was getting out of prison. There was a confidence there that God had just given him. If we go all the way to 2 Timothy chapter 4, there was a confidence that he knew his day was drawing near. He knew. There was something that the Lord had put in his heart that he knew. But another thing, if we could take this a step further, let me put it another way. You don't have to worry about the future. There's no reason to. He says, he'll guide you into all the truth. He won't speak on his own. But whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will disclose it to you what is to come. So let me put it another way. You don't got to worry about the future. When the time comes that we need to know what God wants us to do, he says, I'll be the first one to tell you. I'm going to let that burden off of you at this point. God will prepare you when you need it. we see doomsday preppers, we see, you know, the end times folks, and they're all storing up toilet paper and canned goods. And last time I checked, he fed Elijah with the ravens. I don't know. I can't plan for every contingency. But I know that I trust the Lord, and when that time comes, he'll let me know what to do. He'll direct my path. I have no doubt about that. Doesn't mean from time to time we don't get knocked sideways periodically or something comes in and knocks us off course. But it's not long before he's testifying, or you hear a sermon, or you come to church on a Sunday or a Wednesday and someone encourages you a certain way, and then the Holy Spirit, he just starts testifying in your heart, and you're like, that's what I needed to hear. And he begins to get you back on the right track. The example I gave there was Philippians 1, 2 Timothy. Paul knows that he's heading toward to being martyred. But there's a confidence either way. For us, it was unique with McKenzie. You know, when we had set the court date to move towards adoption, and my sister started coming back around, and my hope was, like the first court date, that she wasn't going to show up. I was like, man, Lord, just don't let her show up. I don't want to fight with her. But I felt like in my heart, it's going to be the best thing for McKenzie. Well, when my sister showed up, it was almost before I even got out of the court. The Lord was just testifying in my heart, you need to let her go. I'm going to give her back. And I can't explain it other than I just knew in my heart, okay, Lord, I just have to trust you. I could have fought him. I could have fought it. But I said, Lord, I'm just going to trust you. Whatever you want to do, I know you're going to do best. And I know you're going to do good. And I can trust you as much as it hurts, as much as it hurt and it ripped a wound deep within our family. But I can tell you, I think the first Wednesday after she was gone, I think we came home that Wednesday night, and I had never seen my son Daniel cry as hard as he did that night. And he would be the one I would call, he's a toughie. The kid, you could twist his arm and try, he'd rather you break his arm than say uncle. He's that strong-willed. And to see him open up the way he did, I said, God, thank you. I couldn't have done it. You can't study enough Bible to make that happen. But I knew at that moment, I said, God, if this needed to happen to soften this young man's heart, because trust me and that kid, we bump heads at times. And my desire is to teach him the things of the Lord and the heart of Christ. But God gave him this zealous, passionate spirit. God gave him that. So I can't deny that. But how do you mold that into a godly man that wants to serve Christ with a gentle heart? But God can do it. Now, my goal is to move him there the best I can. But when I saw him crying the way that he did, at that moment I said, thank you, Lord. I said, because we couldn't have accomplished that. And if this needed to happen, for that to happen, Lord, I trust you. You're doing a good work. And I don't have to see the result. I know you're doing good. I know you're doing good. We don't have to worry about the future. God will let you, when he wants you to do something, he'll prepare you, he'll get you ready. You'll know. You'll know. So let's move back up to 16:8, and we got a little bit more to cover, and we're going to recap. I do appreciate this one in chapter 16, verse 8, because I think I must have skipped this one early on in my walk. Or maybe we're all like, I like to think we're all like Paul when we first get saved, right? Don't you? You guys are in that boat with me, right? I know every one of you. Every one of you. Well, maybe not. So we'll start in 7. But I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And he, when he comes, will convict the world concerning sin, righteousness, and judgment. Okay, are you ready for this one? Here's a boundary. This is the boundary. He says, I'm giving you the job to proclaim the gospel. You now we're not talking about one-on-one discipleship. We're not talking about 1 Corinthians 5 would say you're to judge those in the church. But this verse would specifically say, he'll convict the world concerning sin. So it's not my job to go around telling the world all the wrong that they're doing. You got me? It's not my job to do that. Well, you know, I feel like the Holy Spirit telling me I got to go give them peace of my mind. Okay, go ahead. That's how John got beheaded. That's how James got ran through with a sword. And is it possible now? They listen. Is it possible that he's saying you can go that route, but you might not live that long? But it's not my job to go around telling the world, pointing out all their wrong, pointing out they're convicting righteousness, and it's not my job to go around and tell them they're going to die, burn, and go to hell. That's not my job. That's God's job. It is my job to proclaim the gospel. Now, let me make this clear. 1 Corinthians 5 says you're to judge those within the church. And what he means is there's a discernment of right and wrong. And we don't have the opportunity. If it's within the church, then there's times that, according to Scripture, we have to talk about those things. It is not something that we look forward to doing. Nevertheless, if it's in 1 Corinthians, a mature Christian knows the role that if there's someone that I need to talk to about some things about the Lord that are going on, a mature Christian goes, I care more about their soul than I do if they're going to like me or not. So that's maturity. We're aiming towards maturity in the book of 1 Corinthians. So I do appreciate verse 8 because it's letting me know he's going to do the convicting the world. He's going to convict the world of sin. You know that's not pleasing to the Lord. And so I can actually share the gospel with someone and walk away with great confidence knowing they may be saying one thing while I'm standing there, but when they lay their head down at night and it's all quiet, I know the Lord's at work. He's already at work. I don't have to convince them. I just need to obey the Lord and be willing to care for that soul that God's put in front of me at that moment. That's my job. That's what he's called us to do. So key point to remember there. So okay, so now we're at a point, let's recap. And then we got a little bit more time. 8:15 is my limit, right? Is that my limit? Thank you, Mom. I appreciate it. Yeah. I've got a couple helpers. And I appreciate them all. So let's recap. What is he doing in our lives? Okay, so he's leading me into a deeper knowledge of God's truth. So here's a key point here. Am I seeking God in his word? So here's a question we had. Am I seeking him? Am I getting into the word to actually want to know a deeper knowledge? Because his desire is to take us into a deeper understanding. 2 Peter says, grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Am I desiring that? He wants to do it. But are you seeking him in this way? Number two, he's going to give me strength to endure trials and persecution for God's kingdom work. He's going to strengthen you and I for this time. Because listen, I know people talk tough, but given a certain situation, we'd all be Peter. Given the right circumstances, we'd all be Peter if it wasn't for the Lord. He'll strengthen. It's actually believed that Peter got hung upside down on the cross after they crucified his wife. That's not Peter. That's the Lord strengthening Peter to endure those things. So keep me in the truth. So he's the Spirit of truth, right? That we begin to see different things. Ephesians says we're not knocked here and there by waves and the doctrines of men, deceitful scheming. So we're not falling for the fake and the falsehoods. We're not being led the wrong way. It's not long before you're sitting there and you're hearing something, you're going, it don't sound right. You can't always put your finger on it. You know, you'll hear Pastor Greg's testimony from time to time. I couldn't always put my finger on it. And this is years and years of seeking the Lord. I couldn't always put my finger on it, but I knew something just wasn't right. And there's times in that, if you'll get alone and you'll start to replay in your mind, there it is. Mm-hmm. Okay, where do I find that in Scripture? And Scripture will testify. You'll go, see? But sometimes, listen, it's deceitful scheming of men. They don't make false doctrine evident all the time. It's woven in and out of there. So the Spirit of truth, He's going to keep me in the truth. The Spirit of truth is going to be testifying. Red light, going, warning light. Something doesn't sound right. And sometimes you got to get along with the Lord, and we got to start to pray and talk to the Lord. Lord, okay, I don't feel right about this. What's going on? And He'll begin to reveal, and you'll go, okay, got it. And you'll feel strengthened. He is going to teach me God's Word. It's going to become more clear as I read and meditate on it. So there's got to be that desire to get into God's Word and to meditate. Okay, Lord, I just want to know You. He's going to teach me all things. He's going to bring to remembrance. But am I desiring to spend that time with Him to ingest God's Word into my heart and my life? He'll bring to remembrance God's Word in your heart. There's going to be times where you may not even realize you knew that particular verse, and God's just going to put it on your heart. There's also going to be times where you may be planning to go one way, and God's going to begin to convict you to go this way or to do this particular thing. He will inspire me to share Jesus. I want to evangelize. So what's stopping us a lot of times is the fear of what others are going to think of us. And that's when we got to go, what is He telling me to do? I better hurry up. He will inspire me to share Jesus. He is going to inspire me to give praise and gratitude to God and His Son. He will prepare me for different situations. I don't have to try to make sure I'm ready for every little time of thing. He's going to prepare me. When the time comes, He'll let me know. A lot of times I'll talk to Michelle. Well, what are we going to do here? I don't know. God will let me know when the time comes. Let's go. But, come on. Let's go. I trust the Lord. Let's go. I'm not calling you to be foolish, but I'm also calling you, don't be afraid. Amen. Trust the Lord. He will prepare different situations. He'll prepare me for different situations. He has established a boundary about going around and pointing out the world's wrong. It's just not my job. And if I could tell you this, just in Matthew 4, I'll go ahead and put it to you. He leads Christ into the wilderness, a temptation, right? He's going to lead you to put reliance on God and His Word, which is the opposite of your wisdom, your planning, and your wit. You're letting go of reliance on yourself. There's times when you think you got the perfect plan, but in your heart, you and I both know He's testifying to you. And there's something going on in your heart, and God's moving you. We've got to listen to that. Let me tell you, know what He's doing? He's inspiring you to walk by faith, not by your wisdom. He's inspiring you to take that step of faith. Watch what happens. Watch what He does. If I could, all right, yeah. Turn me to Luke 21. Come on, we got to hurry up. Let's get there. I just want you to see this. I want you to see this being played out. And then we got to look at two more verses. It's getting back around to the 12. All right, Luke 21, verse 12. But before all these things, they'll lay their hands on you. Okay, so we know the persecution's coming for the apostles. They'll lay their hands on you and will persecute you, delivering you to the synagogues and prisons. So we know He's talking to the apostles. He's bringing you before kings and governors for My name's sake. How else do we get in front of them? But God moves you at different times. It will lead to an opportunity for your testimony. Whoa. At different times, you're going to find yourself in different places. This is your opportunity for your testimony, how you receive Christ. So make up your minds not to prepare beforehand to defend yourself. You know what? I'll say this. I'll do this. Stop. You do not have to plan it. For I will give you utterance and wisdom, which none of your opponents will be able to resist or refute. But you will be betrayed even by parents, brothers, relatives, friends. They will put some of you to death, and you will be hated by all because of my name. Yet, not a hair of your head will perish. By your endurance, you will gain your lives. There's going to be persecution. But will we be willing to realize that the persecution is the door? It's the door. He's like, the persecution is the door. And as people are persecuting and that intimidation is coming, that's my door. When we play football at middle linebacker, the way the offensive line would work is they would try to move pulling guards. And wherever you saw that hole open up, you better fill it, because that running back is going to be coming through there. And so my goal was, if you watched the running back, one would go this way, because there was multiples in high school. But there was another one. He was going to come right through that hole, but everybody was following that first one. You better fill that hole. The hole is the persecution. That intimidation that we feel is the door. And at that moment, we say, okay, Lord, I don't know exactly what to say, but I'm just going to share. And you'll lead me. I'm going to share, you'll lead me. Turn me to Galatians 2:16. How do we get there? How do we tap in to the Spirit? And hopefully this can encourage you tonight. How do you get there? How do you tap in to the Spirit? And as we see in Acts chapter 4, there's not always going to be this big to-do. So Acts chapter 4, Peter and John are going to the temple. They're going to go pray. Well, they see this guy that's lame, and they put their eyes on him. They say, silver and gold I have none, but what I do have you, in the name of Jesus, get up and walk. So at this point, I'm not telling people to get up and walk, but I am going to give them Jesus, and Jesus can strengthen them to do whatever it is Jesus wants them to do at that time. But I can tell you there will be a healing that will take place in that life. And they may not be walking physically, but they will be doing whatever God wants them to do at that time with great fervor. So, but at this point, Peter and them, they're just trying to please God that day. So they're going, we're going to the temple to pray, and okay, we see this guy, and we really feel led, we need to minister to this guy, so we're going to share Jesus with him. Just so happens, at this point, he's walking. Well, the Pharisees see this, and they put them in the center, and they surround them, and they're intimidating them. And it says at that moment, Peter was filled with the Holy Spirit, and he begins to share with boldness. And it says they recognize his confidence. So here's my point. How do we tap in to the Spirit? Well, number one, this is the Spirit of God's Son, right? Okay. What am I wanting to do today? Okay, Lord, I just want to please you today. That's all I want to do. And as you're going, different things, you're going to say, you know what, I need to do this. And as you're going, there's going to be times that he's going to begin to move on your heart. You're walking in the Spirit of God's Son when your desire is to just please the Father that day. Luke 19 would say, I come to seek and to save that which is lost. I desire to see people come to know him. Matthew 20, verse 28 says, I didn't come to be served. I come to serve and to give my life a ransom for many. He doesn't say all, but he does say many. Am I desiring to see the lost saved? Am I desiring to serve those that God's put around me? Is that what I'm desiring to do? That's just me wanting to set out to please God the Father that day. And as you do it, different things may take place throughout the day, and it may not happen every day. But it says Peter was filled with the Holy Spirit. At that moment, God gave him the words what to say, how to say it, when to say it, and God began to move him at that moment. There's going to be times where he's going to move in your heart. And we read through 14, 15, and 16 what it is that he's doing. So if you look with me in Galatians 2:16, this is what we're not doing. Nevertheless, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but through faith in Christ Jesus, even we have believed in Christ Jesus so that we may be justified by faith in Christ. Now watch this. Not by the works of the law, since by the works of the law, no flesh will be justified. Okay, so let me see if I can move me to chapter 5. If we want to tap into the Spirit of Christ, it's not complicated, but if you'll look at verses 13 and 14. For you were called to freedom, brethren. Only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another. You want to tap into the Spirit? Through love, serve one another. And then look at 17. For the 14. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word in the statement, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Walk in love. But here's what we don't do according to Galatians 2:16. You cannot walk according to rules and regulations. We're sons. We are sons of God, daughters of God. Okay, I want to please my Father today. And I'm going to set out today and say, okay, Lord, I just want to please you today. I want to walk in love today. I want to serve those you place around me today. Lord, and if it's possible, I'd like to see someone come to know you today. And if you could use me to do it, that'd be even better. But if not, just as long as I'd like to see somebody come to know you today. Or whenever your will is, whatever time your will is. But Lord, that's what I'd like today. And you begin walking in that. It will not be long before he'll start to stir your heart in one way or another. And you'll know. Sometimes it's a breeze. Sometimes it's a blast. But he's going to move and he's going to stir. So here's the key point. You can't walk in this thought of, okay, I'm a Christian. I'm supposed to do this. I'm a Christian. I'm not supposed to do that. You begin walking that way, it won't be long before what the world's doing starts looking appealing. But if you'll do this, okay, Lord, I just want to please you today. And I want to be about serving those you place around me. And Lord, I want to see people come to know you. That's my desire today, Lord. I want to please you. You walk in that, he'll give you discernments to make about your job, about your financial things and all that. And I'll say this, a lot of times he's going to lead you, which will go against your human wisdom. Paul said, I'm going north to Bithynia. And the Holy Spirit says, no, you're going to Troas. And Paul goes, straight course, let's go. I know where I'm going now. I thought I was going north, but now I'm going west. Let's go. And the Lord will begin to direct your path. And we have freedom. I just want to please the Lord today. We're not walking by a set of rules and regulations. We have the Spirit of God's Son in us. I just want to please my dad. There's great freedom in that. Let's close in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, as we come before you, we just want to thank you that you had the law as the tutor to lead me to you. And in the law, Lord, you created a conscience in me, what was right and what was wrong. But Lord, we're graduating from the law. We're no longer walking according to a set of rules and regulations. You've called us to walk by faith, to listen to you. And Lord, you've given us the helper, you, your own Spirit, living inside of us. And you're testifying in our hearts to walk by faith. We walk by faith, not by sight. We walk according to your leading in our hearts, not according to a bunch of rules and regulations. So Lord, thank you that you've given us this freedom and that you've given us also a criteria of what your Spirit looks like. So Lord, may you strengthen us today. We just want to please you. We want to see people come to know you, Lord. We want to see people get saved. And we want to serve those you placed around us. Thank you for what a wonderful opportunity and privilege you've given us. And we look forward to that day we see you face to face. In Jesus' name, amen.